Hello, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. We are so grateful that you joined us today. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, which is in Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. And we welcome you all today, and we will start with our morning prayer.
I'm reading two excerpts from page 204 of Divinity Course and General Collectania, the Blue Book. Do not look to matter to tell you your success, but look up, for your harvest is at hand. You know the Father's love, trust it. Then when you hear a whisper, now you are a sinner, and so is your punishment. The suffering is the consequence. Put it out. Put it out. Oh, may you feel the touch of the spiritual idea that is the light in your path. Mary Baker Eddy.
Thank you. Beautiful. All right, our watching point, Karen.
Watch number 50. Watch lest the improvement in material conditions and beliefs that are brought out in Christian Science cause you to believe that matter is becoming more and more spiritual. What we call matter is only a material conception of spirit. Just as when the lenses are out of focus in the spyglass, what you see is a distortion of the actual landscape. It is our conception that improves in Christian Science, and this brings out an improved manifestation. Yet manifestation cannot be called real until thought has been entirely spiritualized. A better sense of matter must precede its destruction, but the demand of science is to watch thought instead of its shadow, cause instead of effect. One who bears this thought in mind will be in no danger of stagnation because of watching or clinging to effect or matter as though it acquired spiritual value and reality through demonstration.
Thank you. Good one. Yes, and our subject today is matter. So comments on this watching point.
Well, like Florence just read too, and I catch myself, and every time I do, I thought, no, what are you looking at? When I want to check something or look at something, I'm just looking at shadow. I'm not looking at anything that has any reality. And so I'm not trying to improve it. I'm trying to realize what's really present in its spirit, not matter.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, we need to remember that God knows what we need, where we are, you know, mentally and so forth. And if we look to God for our provision, God will provide what we need. But the temptation is, and haven't we all seen it? The temptation is that when God provides what we need, and it's really good, we start to worship what he's providing us instead of worshiping him. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get into trouble.
Thank you.
I think we must worship him all the time because what he has made does not change. It's our thinking of it. That mortal mind tricks us to believe a lie about what is changeless that God has made.
That's right. That's right. It's all a matter of seeing what's already here. And Mrs. Eddy has said, watch your thoughts, not your body. And you can get so hung up on looking at effect, and it's not where it's at. You know, when as a practitioner, you have people, they will give you a list of things they want done. They want a a better job or this or that. But that should not be your want, should it? What should your want be?
That your names are written in.
Thank you. Your name is written in heaven. That's in the lesson this week, yes.
You understand God better. Therefore, you understand yourself. That's the ultimate.
That's it. Your want is to know him more. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. But you get hung up in wanting this and wanting that. And as we talked about Bignall Young's article, if you say, I want. If you say, I want, that means you don't have. And then you're on a, you're chasing your tail around in circles. So you've already been given every good thing. It's a matter of seeing it. And it would seem that we look through a glass darkly now. And that's part of the issue. You have to clear your vision and see correctly what truly God has made. All our senses are spiritual, not material, as this lesson brings out.
Well, and recognize we need to keep in mind that God, you know, God is all. God is omnipotent. And if we feel like we need something that we don't have or want something that we don't have, we're basically saying that God is somewhere else. He's not here where I am. And you by default, you end up worshiping something other than God, which is a mistake, a sin.
Disobedience to the first commandment.
You know, Gary read in one of the, you know, daily statements that we get that article, Finance, from Bignall Young. And I just got the copies. I ordered them because I wanted to go over it in detail. I must have listened 6 times. It just was exactly what you're saying. He says it's impossible to change the manifestation of anything from the outside. No matter what you do, you have to change your consciousness. And easier said than done, but that article really struck me. Thank you, Gary, for doing that.
Well, thank Bignall Young. Thank yeah. Mrs. Eddy.
Yeah. Hey, really. Thank you. That is a wonderful article, Finance, and it doesn't just deal with money matters. It's everything. You should all know that article. It's wonderful. So,
Thanksgiving and recognition.
Yes, Thanksgiving and recognition. And then that last sentence that people seem to have trouble with, that, you know, you can
something in hell.
Yeah, you can manifest God even in hell. Yeah. Well, something to that effect. Well, it means even in hell, God is there with you. That's all that means. And you'll find him there, even in the worst possible condition you might be in. God is still there working. Yes. So that we'll just for a moment, Nancy was going to tell us that we have a need for what, Nancy?
Sorry, couldn't find my mute. Yes, would like to cordially invite anyone who would love to, for all that we're given in our church, we do have a need for people to read scriptural and fruitage on Sundays. If anyone is interested, it's a wonderful way to give back in a small way to the church for all that we receive. And you, believe me, will feel blessed by doing it. You can reach out to myself or Jeremy. Mine would be nancy@plainfieldcs.com. And I guess you all know how to reach Jeremy. And we would love to add you to our list of volunteers.
Thank you. That's a very simple way to give back and to help. And some of you do. And it's usually the same people, however. So let's broaden outreach. And we thank those people who are very willing to do it every month.
And these are things that you can do with the telephone wherever you are, as long as you've got a good connection.
Yes. All right. I want to begin now with something Karen found from Kratzer's article, Self-Surrender Through Love. Go ahead, It's about matter.
Okay. It said, this is just a small paragraph of what his article is about. To eat material food merely as material food with no thought of anything else is to be carnally minded and to act in the order of death. But to see in material eating a symbol of feeding on the body and blood of Christ, that is, of assimilating truth and love, is to be more spiritually minded and to act in the core order of life, to dwell in one's earthly home, seeing in it nothing but a manifestation of matter, is to dwell in a house which is dead. But to think of the material home as a symbol of the Father's house, the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, is to make one's thought of home instinct with life. Human activities of all kinds, carried on and thought of solely on a material basis, must of necessity become dull and uninteresting. But normal human activities, regarded as symbols of spiritual activities, and with the thought of resting largely on the spiritual, even while the material is being performed, are instinct with interest and loving gratitude to God. To see material objects and activities merely as material is to see them as dead, but to see them as representing on the human plane spiritual ideas and activities is to see the normal affairs of daily existence as full of life and love.
That is really wonderful. Kind of sums up matter, doesn't it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Whole article, I love that article. Wonderful.
Healthy Through Love by Kratzer. So how are you seeing things? Are you seeing them just as matter? Do you, as Martha Wilcox, and people who have difficulty with understanding matter really need to get her book and study it. Scientific translations, over and over and over, she explains this, which can be a little tricky to understand. So in scientific translations, Martha Wilcox says, not a single blade of grass, a leaf, or a flower is material when viewed correctly. It is spirit, mind, which conceives outlines and forms these ideas, which multiply and replenish the earth. And then in quoting Mrs. Eddy, because Mrs. Eddy says all of this herself, in Science and Health, by its own volition, not a blade of grass springs up, not a spray buds within the veil, not a leaf unfolds its fair outlines, not a flower starts from its cloistered cell, end quote. All natural beauty and grandeur, from the freshness of the morning to the calm of the evening and the starry heavens at night, are the presence of the one spirit and are therefore spiritual. All natural activities, such as eating and walking and resting and hearing and seeing and thinking and feeling, are not in nor of matter, but are the conscious functionings of the one spirit and are therefore spiritual. All natural love and affection and gladness and happiness and joy and peace and harmony are not in nor of person, but are of the one conscious life or spirit in being and are therefore spiritual and unceasing. All things pertaining to and essential to our normal state of living, from a pin to a palace, when rightly viewed, are not matter, but are spiritual ideas at hand. Now, this is how we must get...
I just wanted to say, with that attitude, I think my cooking has improved.
Well, there we go. And everything done with love and all of that. And if you get into that and see the world this way and focus on this this. Don't be so concerned about, oh, my body, what, look, my heartbeat is this way and that way, and oh gosh, I'm breathing this, this, and that, and oh, my toes are aching this morning. Just stop with all that.
Yes.
I want you to focus on this stuff. No, you focus on all that I just read and what Karen read too. You spiritualize everything. This is our daily task to do, and we must take it up with great love and joy.
You make it a graven image that way.
You're making a graven image. You're looking at the wrong thing. You're barking up the wrong tree, whatever you want to say.
And this has very practical implications. I mean, how many of us, when we sit down to eat a meal, say grace and thank God for our meal? Every meal. Do you all do that? How many of us, when we get up in the morning, thank God for a new day, a new opportunity to do what He has for us to do? And how many of us, before we go to bed at night, go over the activities of the day and thank God for every good thing that He has done for us that day?
And what we can do better.
Take too much for granted, I think.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Yeah, and that's mesmerism, to take things for granted. That is animal magnetism.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I liked what Elizabeth said in her testimony on Wednesday, that gratitude is a state of being. It shows you're in the right mind. You shouldn't have to conjure it up. I mean, sometimes we do to get going, I guess. But you know how a child is just naturally grateful? That's just the way he is. We should be naturally grateful. That means you're in the right mind. And yes, then you're grateful for everything. Everything you see is an expression of God. You're grateful you have eyes to see, ears to hear, feet to walk. Everything. And we see it. We do see it as spiritual, not cumbersome in matter. You know, I can remember when I was fairly new to science, somewhat of a child, and I think I had to take a biology course. And boy, I did not like it, you know, cutting up animals and thinking about your material things like that. And I asked my mother, and I got an exemption. Yeah. In those days, I was exempted. I went to study hall instead of, because just a little bit of that, thinking about it, looking at it, ugh, no thank you. So don't go there. Yeah. Not go there. You don't have to. Just don't. Focus on the enduring, the good, and the true, as we spoke about last week. And don't go to that material sense of things. Because then people, oh, well, what's matter all about? And why are we here? And why is everything in matter? And to Mrs. Eddy's, we'll say to that, who says we are? Who says we are? I mean, you could say, Mary, you're here in a material world. I'll deal with it.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. God never said that. God doesn't even know that. Jesus certainly didn't live that way. So let's not us accept it as a material world full of all its problems, but see it as God created it, and uplift yourself and everyone else. So thank you. And thank you, Karen. That was really good.
You're welcome.
Existence is full of life and love. That's beautiful. And that is definitely how it should be. So now I'm going to go to Ms. Chardell and the golden text.
The golden text.
I want you to read it.
Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, Christ Jesus. And I just thought that's so wonderful. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. And Christ, in the beginning of chapter 10, was talking to the 70 that he sent out. And we've all been sent. We know that. God said, Jesus said, go teach. So when you do that and you're working and playing field, nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then when they came back, they were so happy that all the evil spirits obeyed them. And he said, don't be so happy about that they are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Yes. And so what does that mean, to have your name written in heaven?
To me, it means God loves you, and you're safe, and you're right there all the time.
Thank you, yes.
And again, it goes back to, while we are grateful for the manifestation of God's love,
We
don't worship it. We don't stop there. We thank God. We go to the cause and give our gratitude to God.
Thank you.
Yes. Also, name means nature. So your nature is God's. You're like God. You're like God. All your feelings just came to me.
Hey, Florence?
No, I wasn't saying anything then.
Okay, was anyone else?
Well, it's Elizabeth. I was just saying that your name's written in heaven reminds me that we are immortal, and that we're not just here on this plane of existence. We have always been, and we will always be. And so that's a higher purpose right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So keeps you going every day.
Yes. No, it is. It's a lot of what we were just talking about and what Gary said, too. I mean, we're grateful that we have all power over the serpents and everything, but mainly we're grateful, yes, that we are a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
The higher calling. Absolutely. So your names are written in heaven. And Barbara in Pennsylvania, she looked up that word power. The ability to do or act, vigor, force, strength, authority, influence. So we have the power of that. And dear Carrie, again, she sent some more lovely articles this week on various things in the lesson. And one was about that treading on serpents, an article in an old journal. And she writes, in giving his disciples the ability to tread on serpents unharmed, Jesus not only conferred the demonstration of immunity from the physical attack of poisonous creatures of the earth, but he bestowed the gift of treading upon or destroying the subtle suggestions of mortal mind. The first audible claim, and this is in quotes, that God was not omnipotent. That's from Science and Health. That was the serpent whispering. It's the first audible claim that God was not omnipotent. That's how it comes to you, the serpent whispering that God is not omnipotent. It's telling you there's something wrong with you, or that you're lacking something, or you're unhappy, or you don't have something you think you need. It's a serpent whispering.
Sinner.
Yeah, you're a sinner, like you read. Put it out in the prayer this morning. Put it out. So the first audible claim that God was not omnipotent that would make for building its throne, quote, above the stars of God. Christian Science is the revelation of God to man. Treading on serpents, then, is casting out all manner of false beliefs, both the lie and the father of the lie. And by this means, removing any resultant of suppositional evil. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy says, whence comes a talking, lying serpent to tempt the children of divine love? The serpent enters into the metaphor only as evil, end quote. And further in the same paragraph, she continues, seeing this, we should have faith to fight all claims of evil because we know that they are worthless and unreal. So Don't let it tread on you. That, what is that?
Don't tread on me.
Yeah, that flag. Don't tread them. Don't even think about it, buddy. No, not happening. No way. Get thee behind me, Satan. And a lot of this, and it's in the lesson, we are dealing with false beliefs here. The subtlety of the serpent is to get you to believe these beliefs are real. And it says in Science and Health in the lesson, the so-called laws of matter are nothing but false beliefs. So which one are you believing in today? Beliefs that intelligence and life are present where mind is not. These false beliefs are the procuring cause of all sin and disease. The opposite truth, that intelligence and life are spiritual, never material, destroys sin, sickness, and death. So, never forget that. These are just false beliefs that you're dealing with. It's not the truth of your being. False beliefs, and you don't have to have it. Cast it out.
Ms. Day says they come to us for life, and we give it all the life they have.
Yes, we do. And that's why it's helpful to be so instant in truth and to get it when it comes early, that first subtle suggestion.
There's something about it. If it's not good, it's not from God. I don't have to have it.
Simple rule. Thank you, Lil. If it's not good, it's not from God, and I don't have to have it. Mm-hmm. And I love, too, in the lesson in Signs and Health where Mrs. Eddy says, the senses of spirit abide in love. So are you, if you're having trouble with any of your senses, are you seeing with love? Are you hearing with love? Are you feeling with love? They abide in love.
It makes me feel like your resting state should be love. They say you're a terrible resting face. You should have a resting state that where everything's even and you dealt with everything. It just should be just a feeling of love and gratitude.
That's beautiful. Thank you. That's so true. Your resting state. Because sometimes they will say, you know, when your face in repose can look pretty terrible. When you're not thinking about being loving and actively working on things like that, and you're just sitting there thinking, well, what are you thinking? So your resting state, certainly the look on your face, I have to think about that. This, sure, it's reflecting love and peace, as Craig said, that you're at peace.
That's the way Mrs. A told Adam Dickey to always walk like he's having his picture taken.
Exactly. Right. Be mindful of how you're walking, what you're thinking, what's on your face. And then Mrs. Eddy says, when what we erroneously term the five physical senses are misdirected, they are simply the manifested beliefs of mortal mind, which affirm that life, substance, and intelligence are material instead of spiritual. These false beliefs and their products constitute the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit. And then I love this too in Science and Health. Art thou dwelling in the belief that mind is in matter and that evil is in mind? Or art thou in the living faith that there is and can be but one God and keeping his commandments? And then this, until the lesson is learned that God is the only mind governing man, mortal belief will what? Does anybody know? It'll be afraid. Mortal belief will be afraid.
You will live in fear.
Mm.
You will be anxious.
So when you're feeling anxious and fearful, you can ask, you'll know first right away that you're in the wrong mind. Yep, you're in the human mind, and you're believing that there is life, intelligence, and substance in matter. You're disbelieving the scientific statement of being. You are walking out of the Lord's house, and you're placing in the Adam dream. Go ahead.
No, you also believe in that's a power apart from God. When we've been told so many times, there is no power apart from God. I had to learn this, that's why I say.
Me too, absolutely. That's always the crux of the whole thing.
Yeah, because when you look to something else other than God for satisfaction, for happiness, for whatever, you will be disappointed. So the question is, what do you do when you are disappointed? Do you give up? Do you medicate yourself, drug yourself, either physically or mentally? Or do you say, oh, oops, God help me, or I perish? And get yourself back, yeah, and get yourself back to a better understanding of God.
Thank you. So it was interesting because in the responsive reading, there are many times it talks about fear. And we're going to get into that too, because it's always the big bugaboo, fear. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. The fear, when you start believing that there's, as I said, life, truth, substance, intelligence, and matter, you have to always pull yourself back. Pull yourself back. Get back in the Father's house. And thou shalt not be afraid. I think someone wrote that in the Bible, and I've told you this too, I think it's 365 times there are ways that God is telling you not to be afraid, not to fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. So in this very interesting article by William McKenzie, another one of my favorites that Carrie sent to us, it's called Thy Guard by Night and Day. And he writes, the sentence with which the chapter entitled Christian Science Practice is concluded, found on page 442 of Science and Health of Key to the Scriptures, was considered vitally important by its author, Mrs. Eddy. She called attention to it at the time of its publication by notice in the Sentinel, February 29, 1908. And this notice is reprinted for the perusal of any reader of the First Church of Christ Scientists and Miscellany, page 236. On the next page is given the notice published in the Sentinel for June 12, 1909, requesting that daily attention be given to the teaching of this sentence, which reads, you all know what it is?
Be a law unto yourself.
Yes. Christian Scientists, be a law unto yourself that mental malpractice cannot harm you either when asleep or when awake. So what does that mean, to be a law unto yourself?
I read from one of the early workers is that whatever you're believing, that's what you're making a law. So you want to make the law that God gives you, authority, life, truth, and love, law, annihilation.
We have to know the truth and enforce it.
Enforce it.
Have the correct view all the time.
And establish your oneness early, that what God is what you are and everything around you.
Thank you very much. Craig. Thank you.
Yeah. And know that that is a law. It's not just a belief. It's a law. It's powerful because it's the truth.
So this is why we have it plastered, if you will, all throughout our full text lesson, the three daily duties and this, because we're supposed to be working with it daily. It's a very strong protection. If you're under the God's law of health, and as the lesson says this week, that man isn't capable of sin, disease, and death, when you hear that on the news, the pandemic, boom, 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 you're going to say, go to hell. That's not true. I'm not believing it. And I mean that, go to hell. Goes from whence it comes. you're going to know you're this law unto yourself. You will not be disturbed by all of
nonsense.
Nonsense. The mortal mind rumblings and grumblings that goes on. And then it's very important too, before you go to bed at night, that you acknowledge this strongly. This article goes into that. It goes, Christian Scientists are sometimes found to express anxiety, even as do those whose portion is worldly. They anticipate evil and worry over what they imagine. They fail to enjoy the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, it may be that in such cases, Mrs. Eddy's advice is not regarded. And then, the ancients had evidently strong belief in sleepless evil affecting sleeping mortals. The Mara, or Mare, was a supposed goblin or evil spirit oppressing the sleeper as with crushing or deadening weight. He goes on about this. And a while ago, Bob in Parthens in Colorado had sent me an article about this very thing called Mare or Mara. It's part of the Hindu and Buddhist belief. Now, we can say, I'm a Christian Scientist. I don't have anything to do with that. Well, we don't. But like any other form of malpractice, if you will, which is erroneous thinking, if you're not aware of it and handling it, you can inadvertently come under its beliefs, which is why we must not be stupid. Mrs. Eddy says about having an awareness of evil, right? It comes before its destruction, or knowledge of it, I guess it's the word. So, I mean, I'd never heard of this, and I've decided I'm going to call it instead of witchcraft. But even instead of witchcraft, I'm going to call it Mr. Tiddlywinks. Okay, this is Mr. Tiddlywinks, because that puts it in its proper place. But it says Mr. Tiddlywinks does tempts men with desire and instilling in them fear. Mr. Tiddlywinks' greatest power is his influence over the other inhabitants of the desire realm. Not only can he summon other Mr. Tiddlywinks to him whenever he pleases, but he can turn good men and women into tools as well. With clever lies and cunning truths, he succeeds at filling hearts with greed, lust, anger, jealousy, confusion, fear, and depression. Mr. Tiddlywink's daughters, each of whom represent an undesirable emotion, are his most powerful allies. He uses these beautiful girls as weapons to plant negative feelings in the people and inspire them to accumulate bad karma. We've heard that expression. Different texts assign different numbers of his daughters to the Prince of Darkness. Most often he has three daughters, one craving, one aversion and discontentment, and one attachment, desire, greed, and passion. Well, it goes on, but you get the gist of Mr. Tiddlywinks, don't you?
Yeah.
And Mrs. Eddy speaks about it in ways that are vain. And this article goes on to say, the article by William McKinsey, that is it not well to find a guard from all belief in evil through the protection of the God of Israel? Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. Thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth his loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Let one become accustomed to dwelling in divine faithfulness every night. And then there won't be any of these dreams or anything, because all you'll feel is God's loving kindness. Everyone must also be on guard by day and by night against the intentional mesmerism of those who have made a study of what they call human psychology. I'm not sure I knew about this. From their careful investigations of human weakness, sin, folly, and pride, they have worked out what they believe to be potent methods for swaying people as individuals or in masses by inducing them to believe and accept and fear the mortal mind lie instead of trusting scientific truth. Mrs. Eddy says quite plainly in Science and Health. In reality, there is no mortal mind and consequently no transference of mortal thought and willpower. In its present fate, end quote. In its present phases, psychology claims the exact opposite, denies the presence and action of principle, and claims that human will shall rule the earth. Whoa, excuse me. I don't think so. But if we are blind to this and we don't know to do this, to work day and night, unceasing prayer, to know we are a law unto ourselves, we would seem to come under these beliefs. And psychology is all what? It's belief, life, and matter. You have a brain, and that you can be controlled. And certainly the media is attempting to control masses as well as individuals into believing Lord knows what. Therefore, do not listen. Take your own counsel in God. And he concludes, In order that we too may overcome the subtlety of the enemy and have power over the lying claims of sensual mesmerism and human psychology, there is need for us to follow the example of the Master and the guidance of that Revelator who, in following his example, discovered Christian Science and made the way plain for us. Obedience to this guidance will enable all men to realize that ancient promise recorded in Leviticus, quote, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. We will no longer fear the flesh, the devil, Mr. Twiddlywinks, or whatever you want to call him, because he's powerless to the one who knows who and what he is in God. And I loved, it was in the watch message last night, and I think it was also in what Florence read last week for the prayer, that the infinite light forever protects its ideas in the substance of soul. Man was never educated to believe in nor rely on false theology or materia medica to heal and save him. Man relies entirely upon the principle of being for health, supply, and happiness. Evil minds have no power to reject, deny, oppose, or defy God, no power to stop the work of Christian Science. There is a spiritual reversal for every argument of evil, and to declare it agrees with your adversary quickly. God will reverse every argument of evil before it reaches us through the Word, which is the two-edged sword which liveth and abideth forever. That is where we are. And we weren't even ever educated. That's all false belief, that we're educated to believe in materia medica. Pull it up by its roots. What were you going to say?
Well, we all know that evil minds will use psychology to try to persuade people to believe a lie, right?
Yeah. Most definitely.
Persistently. I mean, and Mrs. Eddy warns us over and over again that it's going on, it's happening. And unless we are alert to it and handling it and keeping our thought very, very close in line with God, we are likely to get fooled. And we don't want that to happen, do we?
And back in my days of being a designer, I was trying to learn how to be a better designer, basically, and I started reading more about advertising and everything that goes into it. And then, it doesn't take too long down there where they start basically saying about all the stuff that the Nazis did to get their way, as though it's a really good thing, So that's Mortal Minds tools right there.
Mortal Minds tools, and it's going on right now.
Big time.
Yeah, big time it is.
And it really turned me off, and I was just done. I don't think I read one more thing about it after that.
And I do think, and I've said this before, that Dixon letter where he says only the pure in heart will survive the latter days, because if you don't have that pure purity of heart, purity of purpose, a love for God and man. You'll get swayed. You know, Mr. Tiddlywinks will try to get into your thought. And in that article about Mr. Tiddlywinks, it talks about at the end, he was some kind of a grand, I guess he was either Buddhist or Hindi or something, but overcoming all the temptations. And that's when Mr. Tiddlywinks really went after him with everything he had to try to. He did not want this guy to really understand God. He was just putting everything on him. And it will often come that way. Sometimes people who have made a lot of progress in truth, then some beautiful, voluptuous girl will walk past them or something, some temptation, one of Mr. Tiddlywinks' daughters. So anyway, Mr. Tiddlywinks was throwing everything at that man, but he was too pure at that point, and he could not take him off center. Could not. His face was set like a flint to Jerusalem, and he was unimpressed by any of it.
Thank you. Yeah, it mentions an article about the desire realm, and I've been thinking about that. You don't want to have any part of the desire realm.
No, so. No. And isn't that what's all in front of you on the news in Hollywood, all of that, all the stuff you think you want.
Commercials,
yeah. Whether it's just more materialism or lusting or whatever it is. So easy now to look up things on the internet. It's trying to pull you away from your Father and make you believe, yes, in matter. That it's powerful in some way and that it has an erroneous influence, but we are under an influence all divine, as our new liberator says. Now, Karen, you put things on fear as well, so you can give us the map.
Okay. This is from page 61 in The Great Revelation in Retrospection and Introspection, where Mrs. Eddy says, Christian Science declares that sickness is a belief, a latent fear made manifest on the body in different forms of fear or disease. This fear is formed unconsciously in the silent thought, as when you awaken from sleep and feel ill, experiencing the effect of a fear whose existence you do not realize. But if you fall asleep, actually conscious of the truth of Christian Science, namely, that man's harmony is no more to be invaded than the rhythm of the universe, you cannot awake in fear or suffering of any sort. Science saith to fear, you are the cause of all sickness, but you are a self-constituted falsity. You are darkness, nothingness. You are without hope and without God in the world. You do not exist and have no right to exist, for perfect love casteth out fear. God is everywhere. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, and this voice is truth that destroys error and love that casts out fear.
It's beautiful, and that was something we were given here, to know that man's harmony is no more to be invaded than the rhythm of the universe. You cannot awake in fear or suffering of any sort. You know, to say some prayers like this before you go to bed. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And yes, Christian Scientists, be a law unto yourself that mental malpractice cannot harm you, either when asleep or when awake. And our daily duties. But these are things we must say with feeling and think about it, not just like little parrots going through it, like some mantra that's going to protect you. It's got to go deep within you.
Yeah, it's not a spell.
It's not a spell, no, it's not a spell. And also another article, Conquering Fear, which was a really good one by Duncan Sinclair, and talks about that, you know, love is the antidote to fear, right? And just as we talked about before, when you're dwelling in love, you're thinking of what's the enduring, the good, and the true, then fear can't touch you. He writes, God is infinite love. This fact, if realized, would destroy all fear. But how one has to hold on to it until he's made it, so to speak, his very own, how he has to allow his thoughts to dwell upon it, letting it sink into the very depths of his consciousness. God is infinite love. Then love alone is present and has power. That is the truth. Whence then comes fear, and what is it? Fear can have no origin since God is infinite love. Hence, fear has no real existence. In other words, fear is an illusion of material sense of the so-called mortal mind, an entirely supposition mind believed in by mortals. So, and then we're going to end with Martha Wilcox.
This is from her article, Overcoming by Obedience. She writes, "The Christian Science doctrine of the unreality of matter does not teach that matter represents nothing at all, but it teaches that matter is a material misconception of a true conception or a true idea held in divine mind. And the so-called human is the subjective or the externalized object of his own thinking. And being a mere effect, he changes and alters with every alteration of his mind, which is projecting or causing the effect. Jesus had so destroyed the human or carnal mind by this simple process of denying himself, that is, denying his own materiality, that when a leper approached him on the way to Capernaum, his own spirituality, or the Christ, rejected the lie of sick matter and recognized only the idea of divine mind. The real man, the image and likeness of God, was a purely spiritual idea, incapable of sin, disease, and death. Knowing this, Jesus knew that he was not placing his hand on leprous matter, since all his spirituality was capable of recognizing as real was the image and likeness of God. And Jesus could not understand this truth and be obedient to it in his thinking without destroying the specific lie or misconception presented to him, that of a leprous man, in the only place where it claimed to exist, in the human mind. Gone from the human mind, it was gone, not only for Jesus, but for the leper, and the priest to whom the leper was to go and show himself. Jesus, in short, had known the truth, and the truth had destroyed the lie or misconception and set the leper free. Jesus saw the perfect man, where sinning mortal man alone was visible to those about him, and this healed the sick. This exemplifies the simplicity of a Christian Science treatment. No Christian Scientist, be he student, reader, practitioner, can do more than have his thinking true, the truth about God and man. And this conscious truth, as one's own mind, overcomes or rejects any mental presentation that is not true.
So there.
So take that. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.